You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 25, How to Handle a Multiple Offer Situation. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. Last week we talked a lot about an in-demand listing and exactly how to work with it and what to do. But we had kind of just basically breezed over the multiple offer situation, which usually comes off of these in-demand listings. Multiple offer situation is a really good one to be in, but it's also a risky maneuver, and you want to make sure you take care of it correctly. You want to make sure you actually tell the client how to take care of it correctly as well. So I'm going to give you some pointers here that will help you out when you get a multiple offer situation. Also help you out in the sense if you get an offer and you want to create a multiple offer situation. So we'll back up just a teeny tiny bit to talk about how to get a multiple offer situation out of a single offer when you have multiple showings, and we'll go through the whole steps of going through the process of accepting an offer and choosing which one and how to actually work with the people throughout the process. So first you get an offer. And you get the offer in and it's not exactly what you want, or it is what you want, but you know there was a lot of activity and you know right now that the market is very hot, so you think, okay, we might be able to go over asking. One thing I want to tell you is you want to be really careful. So we have a contract with our clients that states that if we get them an offer at full price and they don't accept it, that we actually get paid. So you want to make sure that that's out in the air right away. So if the person wants to play games and they're like, that offer is not good enough, even though we got a full price offer and we're just going to play games with going multiple offer, they don't really have that right. They actually owe you your commission. As long as you're using the Massachusetts Realtor form or you're using some of the GBR forms, I don't know for other states if your forms all say this, but in our contracts here in the state of Massachusetts, it says right in there that if I bring you a full price offer without a bunch of contingencies, the normal ones are okay. Like a mortgage contingency is fine. You can still get paid on that. But, you know, things out of the ordinary, like the person wants their, you know, car with the house or whatever, then that's not a full price offer. But as long as you get a full price normal offer, they owe you the commission. So you want to be clear about that up front. You also want to realize that when you're playing in the game of multiple offers and someone feels like they offered you well, you got to be really careful about hurting feelings. So when you have that offer and the person who puts in the offer calls in and says that they're going in full price, they give you the offer, and then you decide to go out and multiple offer it, you might not want to let them know you're multiple offering it. Sometimes you let them know, sometimes you don't let them know, and you let everyone else know. You're going to kind of judge it based on what everything is going on. And when I do one where I don't let them know, I let them know at the end, once I've recruited other offers, that, hey, your offer is no longer the highest offer, you need to come up or get out. Because if you tell them, who just put in a full price offer, we're going to have a multiple offer situation, we're going out to bid, but you don't have another offer, and then they say, you know what, cancel my offer because I thought I did good, I gave a full price, and reality, I'm not going any higher, so I'm just going to walk on. Now you don't have anybody, and the other people don't end up performing, or you just get a whole bunch of lower offers than asking because they're like, I don't think it's actually worth full price. I'm going to get in. I don't believe that the multiple offer will go over asking, so I'll offer less. So now you've just coached your seller that we should go to market with this, and then the highest offer walked away. Now you're looking at lower offers. You're going to have a really angry client for the fact that you didn't accept a full price offer because you thought you were going to get more money. So you want to be careful with that. The other thing is in our contracts, it does say, at least here in Massachusetts again, it does say that we're allowed to tell other people about other offers. We're not allowed to tell them the details without permission. So when you're going to get a multiple offer, you want to talk to your client and ask them, am I allowed to disclose the price and terms that people are using on their offer? So if your client says, yes, it's fully legal, you can call the other agent and say, I have an offer for $445. Would you like to beat that? Just always make sure that when you're playing this game, always circle back to the person who was the highest and best originally and give them that opportunity to come up. But also remember that this is business. This has nothing to do with feelings. This has nothing to do with you like one person better than the other. And it better never have anything to do with you having both sides of the deal. If you ever get caught in a multiple offer situation, you have both sides of the deal and you accept a lower offer, you can actually end up losing your license for that one. Because if your clients don't know about the situation and you just don't tell them about other offers that are better, that way you get paid both sides, you've broken your fiduciary duty, and you can actually lose your license. So be really careful for that. You could also face a lawsuit and the public embarrassment of a bad review that says, I used this agent and they chose to accept an offer just because they got paid on both sides, they coached me to accept that one and didn't tell me about other offers, you're probably not going to have much business in that town anymore, and it can be a really dangerous slippery slope. The other thing is, in the situation of that, someone could take out a discrepancy with you. If you're in the National Association of Realtors, they might take you to arbitration over the fact that they see you do a double-sided offer and you didn't answer their phone calls, even though the offer deadline was at 5. They're calling at 4:30 to find out if you got it, and you just pretend like you didn't see it till 5:01 and say, sorry, you missed out. These types of things happen often in the city. Got to be really careful. The other thing is, if you're on the buyer side, and you're on the other side and someone's playing those types of games with you, reach out to their broker before the offer deadline and before anything gets accepted and say, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on over there. I can't tell you how to run your operation, but I'm trying to get an offer in for my clients and your agent is simply just not answering me back and there's a deadline. I wanted to make sure it got to somebody and I really want to get this deal done. But anyways, back to the multiple offer thing. You want to make sure that you get the permission to be able to say those things. I typically don't tell people the actual offer price. I usually go with a we have an above asking or we don't have above asking. I usually go with those types of wordings. And I always be careful about saying we have a multiple offer situation. I'll say I have an offer in right now. Would you like to get in on this? I like to keep it honest because as soon as you get caught in a lie, it's really hard to remember everything that you've said. And then you have to keep your lie up. So super important to just think, okay, let's be as honest as we can and keep them all involved. So then you do end up in the multiple offer situation. You get a bunch of offers in, you're on your way up. Got to remember a couple things. So number one, appraisal. The appraisal, if it's going to miss and you have an offer that has a mortgage contingency with a low money down or an appraisal contingency built in, and you know that they're going to miss on the appraisal, you accepting the highest offer may not be the best idea, because if that falls apart, you either have two options, and sometimes you don't even have the two, but the one would be to let the person go and to go to a different person. The other would be to renegotiate with them. Maybe you take money off of the price. Maybe they add in more money. But the problem is they can walk away as well because of their appraisal contingency. And if they walk away, it's a strange phone call down the next list of who the other offer was that wasn't accepted and say, hey, you're now the new high guy. Would you like to be in? The appraisal was off. Because then they're like, well, what did the appraisal come in? And now, you know, they're not going to go over what the appraisal was off by because they know their appraisal company's not going to hit it and they don't want to waste their money and time and efforts and everything like that. So always remember when working with an appraisal that you have to be careful about that. And for the ease of math and everything, we'll talk about it in like a situation where you had a property and it was at $90,000, you go multiple offer, goes up to $100,000, then the property appraiser comes out, he appraises the property. It's on, he says it's worth 90 that you originally put it on for. So you have a $10,000 discrepancy. A lot of people say, like, what does that actually do? So what happens is the person that's buying the home, the money that they're putting down, now they need $10,000 extra dollars before they hit their 3.5 or 5 or 10 or whatever percent down. So we'll say 3.5 or well, let's say 5 because it's easier math. So say they were putting 5% down. Originally on the 100, that would be 5 grand. When we have a $90,000 appraisal instead of the $100,000, we have to add $10,000 right off the bat to pay the money up that's there. And then we have to do $90,000 times the 5% that they were putting down, which is an additional $4,500, which means that no longer do they have to come up with $5,000, they need to come up with $14,500 in order to bridge the gap of the difference for the appraisal. So you can see why, obviously, they're going to want your client to come down on price because most of the time they simply can't do it. So that's another thing when you're looking at these multiple offers, it's not a bad idea to look at the people who have higher cash down. And obviously in a multiple offer situation, there's a lot of different categories of different contingencies and the mortgage one's a big one. Another one is the inspection contingency. If you have a no inspection contingency, you're selling an older home, 5 or 10 grand might not be much money if you know that you're going to run into some issues or you think you're going to run into some issues at that home inspection. So coaching your client on, hey, this is probably not the best idea. We're accepting the highest dollars with the lowest money down and an inspection contingency versus that cash offer over there that has no inspection. So keep that in mind when you're accepting offers, making sure you're looking at every single one of the contingencies because there are a lot of them that can actually come back and burn you. And then also closing time and things. Sometimes in a multiple offer situation, you can use that to your advantage to get a little more flexibility for your sellers to close on the date that they want, whether they want to finish out the school year or they want to finish out with a certain job or they want to move on a certain date. When you're in a multiple offer, you can usually say to people, hey, one of the ways we can make this offer better is to adjust the dates, and that can get preferential terms for your clients. The next thing is when you actually do have the multiple offer situation and you do accept one, you want to really reach out to every single agent that brought in another offer and say to them that you're very appreciative of them. Give them the number in line they are. So you're number two in line, you're number three in line, and let them know if anything happens, I'm going to reach directly out to you so we can continue this along. Is your client interested in that? Because too often do you get just a stupid little email from an agent that says, sorry, your offer wasn't accepted, we took another one. What does that even mean? It doesn't give enough emotion. It doesn't hook the other buyer into the process. It doesn't hook the other buyer's agent into sitting around and waiting in case something happens. Because let's be honest, with so many different things from home inspection to mortgage appraisals and all the other things, there's a lot of places where someone could fall out. So if someone's going to fall out and you have the other list and you keep them on the hook, that means you're going to be able to just bounce to the next one. My mother and I just purchased a house for her about a year and a half ago. I was her agent and she was number three in line and she ended up getting the house. And it was a bad appraisal first. And then second, it was a person that flaked out because this is a common one too. Multiple offer situation. They don't get it first. They're second in line. Agent calls back and the person just says, geez, I'm not as excited about the house as I once was and I'm over asking, so I'm just not interested unless you want to come down to asking price or below. And so then it went down to my mom. My mom was actually a high cash down person and she said, you know what, not too worried about the appraisal contingency. I'm going to be here for a while, so why don't we just accept it the way it is? The appraisal didn't hit, but it's not a big deal. We'll just move forward. And we ended up moving forward on a big deal for her and she ended up being happy. But the reason that we were able to do that was because I'll give the credit to the other selling agent. They stayed in contact with me. They stayed letting me know, okay, hey, we've got a few issues here. Are you guys still in the game? And they're in the whole entire process. They never offended me. One of the things people forget is this is business, but at the same time, far too many people make it an emotional business. And when you make it emotional, that's when the sellers and buyers get in there and they get carried away. So you got to be really careful about letting them get that emotional feel. Because once they get that emotional feel, they feel like somebody crossed them. They feel like, why didn't they respond to our offer? And then they just accepted something else, which I actually had that happen recently. I had a property where we had made an offer on it and the agent just came back and said, no, they denied your offer. And then about a week and a half later, she called me and said, oh my God, the people we accepted the offer for flaked out. Are your people still interested? I called my people back and I said, hey, I just found out that when we missed the house the last time, it wasn't just not responding to us. They actually accepted a different offer. And they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, they accepted a different offer and they're interested. And my client said, no, we're not interested anymore. They obviously can't treat us with the respect we deserve. We don't want to work with them. And to me, it makes no sense because it's like they wanted the house. They should buy the house. But the reality is when people feel that way, it's a hard turn. It's hard to get them out of that. So making sure that when you are in the multiple offer situation, you're being open and clear, that's a big thing. And then I skipped over it, but let's talk a tiny bit about when you're in a multiple offer situation, one great thing to do is an open house the day of the best and last. So if you have a best and last by 8 p.m., doing an open house between the hours of 4 and 6 and allowing everybody to come in for a group showing. The reason for this is when you get people in for a group showing versus the one-by-ones, okay, I'll go look at it this time, I'll go look at that, you're putting them next to each other in a situation where they know they're going to be bidding, which is going to bring up their competitive nature, where they're going to be looking around, and when you have multiple people in a house and there's multiple offers coming in, they're counting how many heads they see, they're trying to figure out, okay, I felt like it might be one or two people, I'll go in somewhat good, whereas you know it's a busy one. When you have them all in that open house and there's six couples in there, they're like, geez, I better really put my best foot forward. But again, remember, don't push people too hard because as soon as you start running your multiple, we're going to go way over asking and stuff. Some of the people who may not have gone over asking or may have gone close to asking, they may just not even put in an offer. And when you don't know, you don't want to run your mouth about it. Like I said earlier, really big on absolute honesty and absolute clarity to what exactly is going on in the situation, because coming up with lies and saying we're going way over asking and then finding out you went under asking can really screw over your seller in a situation where people got nervous, They didn't want to get involved in, quote, a bidding war, so they slowed down their offer and they didn't put it in, and the reality was you didn't have one ever. And the other thing that can be super embarrassing as an agent is when you write on a listing, all offers due by Monday at 5, and on Tuesday at 5 when I sign into the MLS, your listing is still there, and that wording is taken down. You did your listing such a disservice, you chased everyone away, you didn't even realize it. Now, the next offers you get are going to be terrible, because they know you didn't sell. You didn't sell for over asking, you didn't sell for anything, and that you're a liar, and that your listing is not as good as you said, and when they do make an offer, it's going to be lower than you expect. So, never ever put those words up on a listing when you don't have it, especially because at the end of the day, your seller is going to be really upset with you when you go from saying, we have a multiple offer situation on their listing to no offers. So remember, in multiple offers, it takes a lot of work. Working with a brokerage that's going to train you properly to deal with these things is a very important part of the process. If you're an agent looking for a brokerage, it's going to help you more with more training and help you understand better ways of working with offers, better ways of working with your clients. Please feel free to reach out to us. We're currently hiring. Thanks for listening this week. I appreciate you being here. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please reach out to me directly. PM me, DM me, text me, whatever works best. Make sure to follow the podcast, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for coming.